Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host today, and today we also have a co-host, Ms. Julia Gannaway. But first, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to just lie down last night and wake up this morning, Heavenly Father. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We ask you, would you bless this segment to be something that you are satisfied with, something that is pleasing unto your sight, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless my co-host, Ms. Julia Gannaway, and give her the words to say that comes from you, Lord, and comes from on high, Heavenly Father. We ask that everything that she say be anointed, Heavenly Father. We ask that everything she touch be blessed, Lord. If there's anything that we're in need of, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking, would you give it today, Heavenly Father? Would you give it on the day that you would like for it to be given, Heavenly Father? We ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless all the listeners who are currently on the line, those who will listen, Heavenly Father, and then those who will listen later on. Lord, we thank you for the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. We thank you for the connections and all of the people who are coming to hear from you, Lord. And then, Lord, when this ministry is over, we ask that you continue to bless the people and help the people to understand that they must run unto you in order to receive a word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And I would like to read Psalm 103, Numbers 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagles. I have read to you Psalm 103, Numbers 1 through 5. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and the seekers of his holy word. And on today, we have the pleasure of having one of my co-hosts, Ms. Julia Gannaway, join us today as she speaks about our faith. She is going to come to us, and she's going to talk about displaying our faith in various situations. Ms. Gannaway, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Dr. Love. Good evening.
Good evening, and thank you so much.
You're welcome, and good evening to those that are on the line and listening. May my mouth to God's ear be pleasing. Yes, today I'd like to talk about putting our faith on display and how we're displaying our faith. You know, it has become a garment that we put on for 4 hours on Sunday, and taken off once we get home and not put back on to the following Sunday. And the behavior is constant. The display of faith is constant. I've been in many, many churches across Central Texas, from the southeast coast to the southwest coastline, and I'm seeing more and more that we're forgetting our basic tenets, Dr. Love. We're not displaying the faith. You read Psalm 103, Numbers 1 through 5, bless ye the Lord and bless him with all we have. And the highest way of blessing him is displaying that faith. You know, I'm seeing people posted on the side of a church building smoking cigarettes after church, not even across the parking lot. I'm seeing disagreements. I mean, hard down arguing in the church, in the pulpit, during service between church members who are also family members. You know, and I'm seeing the kids picking up this behavior. I'm seeing that faith is only when God's man walk in the pulpit. It's not the moment we walk in God's house, that reverence. You know, whose house is it anyway? Is it just the house of God when the worldly man who's giving the word walks in the pulpit? Or is it God's house when we walk through the doors? And it's running rampant. It's running rampant. We have road rage. We're having family disputes. We're having church disputes. We have six churches in a row with nine members each, and no one wants to come together because everyone wants to be the head. Where is the faith? Where is faith on display there? Where are we going? And I like to quote and go to Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. You know, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, whereas the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And what God himself is saying here is that the tenders of the grapes on the vine are at the very bottom, at the very bottom. And it's the little foxes, not the big foxes that eat the big tub grapes, not the big things we do, giving money, giving our tithes, and doing all these good works. But it's the little bitty things, those little foxes, those little things that get the tenderness from us. Being Rachel in a long line in the grocery store, you know, there are two lists I keep, Dr. Love. One is a repentance list and one is a forgiveness list. And I try to keep my repentance list good and long, and that way I know I'm not going back, and my forgiveness list short. But when my forgiveness list gets longer than my repentance list, then I got to look at those little foxes. What's eating it? And I know no one's like me, but I didn't like putting shopping carts back where they're supposed to go. I didn't like being in the grocery store having groceries and putting them where they're supposed to go. It's those little things that we turn around and do because no one's looking, no one would even notice. But there is one who sits high and looks low that notice. I notice adult behavior during Bible study, during the beginning of church, in the house of God, the running around, the socialization. He said, greet every saint with a kiss and a hug, a godly one. And that's great, but when we start having outside conversations that's continuing mayhem in God's house just because the human man is not in the pulpit, he doesn't bring God into the house. That's God's house. And I'm seeing more and more display of faith that is less and less tender, less and less kind, less and less courteous to the house it belongs to. And we're talking about bad behavior publicly. Be a peacemaker. Bring the peace about. Show the peace. That builds Christian character. We're to do the same privately. What's done in privately should also be apologized privately. It should never be made public. And what's done in public should be apologized public. You know, he specifically talks about our behavior in Matthew, from Matthew 8 on, from Matthew 7, 6 through 26, he talks about our behavior. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be find it. Verse 14 in chapter 7. He talks about in verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And what I'm seeing in faith, in displaying faith and how to act and behave in that decorum, is that we have our kids in church, and they're with their technical instruments, their technology, their phones, their tablets, their PSV, their gum, candy, color book, and toys. Back in the day, and that behavior is what you see appeasing them, is what you see at school. We're not giving them that correction. We're not sparing the child. We're spoiling the child and sparing the rod. And in Proverbs, he talks about that, and he tells us that that is not to be done. We have a duty and an honor to our God to serve him and display that faith wisely, correctly, appropriately. We don't come in with aught against our brother and expect to go to the one we don't see when we can't be at peace with the one we do see. When we have people that have self-made positions in church and territorial and cannot be taught anything else because they know all they know, they're so earthly heavenly, they're no heavenly good. that we have disputes and territory and impositions, and then sitting in the pulpit and misquoting scripture and want to teach and won't be taught. That is not faith on display. That's telling everyone around us that you can be a self-made Christian, and that is not the way to salvation. It's putting time in the Word. It's putting time in His presence. It's getting to those little foxes, the looks, the comments, our responses, and even privately, displaying our faith privately. How much time are we spending with Him? How much time are we spending in His presence? How much time are we spending in the Word? And that denotes our behavior publicly. When we don't have that peace, when we don't have that strength, that backbone, we yield to our own forces and to the flesh. And then our forgiveness list, our repentance list goes long, and our forgiveness list goes short because we keep doing the same thing. And faith on display is where everyone and no one is to be judged. No one. It is strictly a personal way of salvation and grace. We have grace for so many things, and all He asks is that we grace Him by putting our faith on display and doing it appropriately to His precepts, to His statutes, to His commandments, to His beliefs, to what we know that is pleasing in His sight in the Word. We're at work. And it's particularly if you work in a group of women, you have the gossip, you have the mayhem, you have the issues, you have the stress issues, you have the moral issues, you have territorial issues, you have insecurities and vulnerabilities you're dealing with. And yet, at each and every turn, how are we displaying our faith? And I was taught once by my pastor of Harvest Time Bible Church in Port Arthur, that problems that gives us problems, but more or less our attitude toward our problems that causes the stress, the mayhem, the chaos, the sinking feeling, the stuck feeling, the non-peace. And those are the things that put our faith on display. Appropriately, praising, our prayer time, our tithes, our offerings, praying for others, standing in the gap for others, correcting one another, and being able to take correction from one another. Seeking the Word on what you display and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal those little foxes to you, those undesirable traits. Being diligent and diligent because your faith is always on display. And I'd like to encourage listeners and believers and non-believers as well as whatever in situations, knowing that whatever we're displaying is what we're going to call in. It's what we're sowing, and we will reap that. I encourage believers to sow favor instead of favoritism, to reap it, sow it generously and joyfully, and reap it in the same. And be aware of what we're displaying to our kids, because what we display to them is what they're going to display to others. Does that make sense to you, Dr. Love?
It does, and I'm taking notes on everything you're saying. That's exactly right. And, you know, Julie, I was thinking, when you were speaking about how we carry ourselves in the Lord's house, as a matter of fact, how we carry ourselves in the environment, it's very important that we understand that we must constantly have our faith on display. We're not perfect. The Lord says our life will never be perfect, but our faith should be perfect in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, in Romans 10 and 17, it says faith comes by hearing the message, just what you said, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. If we're trying, Julie, to live any other standard or trying to do it our way in the pulpit, you know, as bench members, as workers of God, then we're doing it wrong. We're not displaying our faith, and we have to get people to understand that section of it.
That is correct. Even still in Matthew 7, he talks about every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. If I'm in God's house and my pastor is sitting there, and you have deacon to the right, deacon to the left, but if you have someone sitting in the pulpit that's misquoting scripture to say something, to hear them say something, to sound so holy, and everyone has that type of human nature discernment, then something is wrong. That person needs to be retaught. That person needs to be corrected. And that person needs to be removed. Because we all need to be taught and retaught. We can take one scripture and have many, many revelation knowledge levels to that. What is said and what is done is grown by faith to faith and glory to glory. But yes, our faith is always on display in all situations, Dr. Love. And if you're a parent getting calls from school and the child is always in ISS and can't sit and be still, well, they're not sitting and being still and being disciplined in the house of God on Sunday. What you see there for those few minutes, that hour and 45 minutes, is what you're going to see for 6.5 hours in school. Back when I was growing up, which was some years ago, we didn't have all that in church. We didn't have candy. We didn't have gum. We didn't have color books. We didn't have toys. We didn't have electronics, of course. We didn't even understand the word and the message. But we sat there. We were disciplined to sit there and to listen and to focus. Therefore, what we did there, Dr. Love, we did in school. The same behavior. Those that didn't and weren't disciplined did the same thing in school. And since we were our classmates, we saw and know the difference. And now, as an adult and an educator and a Christian in the house of God, many houses of God, for various engagements of speaking and conferencing and counseling, the behavior, what I see a child do in church, I know that that's what they're doing in school. And that comes from our faith now on display. We are not to spare that rod and spoil that child. We want that child to be known by our fruits because we're responsible for them until the age of reason. Right. And that display of faith is so important in children's formative years. It's even more and as just as important in a young Christian formative years. We don't judge. We don't knock them over the head with the word. We don't tell them what they need to do and need to be. We continue to pray. The Spirit continues to teach them and discipline them and bring them. As a baby Christian, we allow them to eat, to drink that milk until they're ready to eat meat. Right. And that's a hard thing for us grown growth Christians to let a baby Christian be a baby Christian, Dr. Love.
That's right. And, you know, as you were speaking also about discipline, you know, many times we discipline our children or we teach them the right thing, such as let's go with Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. He taught Peter everything that he knew. Matter of fact, they called Jesus Rabbi. But when Peter and these other gentlemen were in a storm, they didn't want to get out of the boat and trust God. They didn't put their faith on display. And what God is saying, just like what you're saying, is that when God tells us to move and when he tells us to walk or he tells us to go, that means go. You shouldn't think about it because you trust God. Part of faith is trusting the word of God, that God will always be with you. And so even when everything looks bad, when you're in a bad situation, when you are in a storm, whether it's a financial storm, whether it's in a career storm, whether it's in a family storm, whatever type of storm that we're in, the Lord is saying the evidence is the word of God. People look for evidence such as I have to see Christ or I have to go to somebody and they have to tell me. But God is saying put all of your faith and trust on display with the word of God, because faith is what makes us strong, and it's the state of being convinced about what we hope for. And that's what you're talking about. We have to be taught how to have faith. We can't learn it by osmosis, which means we just can't look at someone else's life and see their life on display. As you were saying, we have to be taught, because how we practice our faith with the word of God, which means the time we take in studying the Word of God. That's how much faith we're going to have, Julie, when we go out into the churches, out into the community, because what you usually do at home, you do outside as well. Now, you may do a little bit more at home because you're not in front of an audience. But typically, what you practice at home is going to soon come out. That's why what's inside of your heart is going to come out. So if you have the faith of a mustard seed, and for somehow that mustard seed is uprooted, right, then you're going to drift away from the Word of God because you don't have trust in Him and because you don't have that mustard seed that the Lord is asking us to have. And that's small faith because the Lord can do the rest.
Exactly. It's like a house built on sand. When the storm comes, it's going to be blown away. I know a young woman that came from Hurricane Katrina and Rita and lost her home in the homestead and came up to Central Texas and jobless and almost homeless and got a great job, and the stress and strife on that job was to a point of breaking, but no one knew that. I saw her walk in that job every day and smile and greet everyone, even the ones that were, as he said, forming against you. You know, in Proverbs 3 he talks about 10,000 at your right hand will fall. And by faith. And I saw God show himself strong in her life by faith. And I've lived that, Dr. Love. I've lived that. And that's what it is. It's the recompense of things unseen yet hoped for and known. God doesn't work. If you're a believer, God does not work in mysterious ways. In that scripture, he says God works in mysterious ways to those who don't know him. So he will have to send them signs and wonders. But to us who know him, Dr. Love, there is nothing mysterious about him because there is nothing too hard for our God, and there is nothing he won't do. And that's the display of faith that I wake up with every single day in the face of every adversity, trial, tribulation, situation, good or bad or indifferent. The display of faith has to be. He said in Matthew, he talks about if you're fasting, clean your face up. You don't have to go moaning and groaning and telling everybody you're fasting. You should have that joyous look, that look of victory. That's a display of faith. You know, let the believer say so. Let the victory in your life be victorious and show that. The display of faith is that it's a kind word. It's a tender word. It's putting aside your proudness, your self-accolades, and sticking up for the underdog. It's about knowing, doing the right thing. And it's not that the truth will set you free, Dr. Love. It's knowing it's the truth is what sets you free. And that's the direct quote from the scripture. Knowing the truth will set you free. And we know that by the Word of God. Everything we say and we do is checked by the Word of God. And he literally, the Bible itself, B-I-B-L-E, is basic instruction before leaving earth for any and every situation. Proverbs is an excellent book to get those little foxes from eating those tender little grapes, those little things that God is trying to put in you and take you to faith and glory to glory, that you let, you asking God to be patient. But every time you turn around, you're in a long grocery line, the bill is in pink, the kids are acting up, can't get hold of the husband on the sale, the car won't go, and the ATM card won't work. Now, either we're going to give the devil all that power and glory, or we're going to sit back and smile and say, oh, I'm just waiting for a minute till God show himself strong, because I know he will, because that's the God I serve. That's a display of faith. And you are absolutely right. That is what we are. There is no other way to get through. We talk about getting through and breaking through. Part of that getting through is that display of faith, knowing you're going through, and he's getting you there. Just like the three the three Hebrew boys in the furnace. They had a display of faith that was unsurmountable. And we can start with the little things, putting the grocery cart back where it goes, putting the grocery back where it goes, apologizing when it's not even our fault and we really don't have to, but do it to keep peace, to give someone else peace. And it just builds character. And that's the character that God puts grace upon.
And Julie, I'm glad you said that because as you were saying that, I want to read this particular scripture that God gave me, and it actually touches on what you just said. And that's James 2, and let's go to 15 through 17, and it reads, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it is dead. And so, therefore, just what you said, you know, if someone is in need of something, you know, we have to believe and have faith that we serve a stronger God who is able to give us and supply our needs. And God said he would supply our needs. And so, therefore, when we see someone in need, there's no need in us saying go in peace, you know, if we have the resources. If we have the resources, let's go ahead and help. And I think about people who come over to other countries, whatever country that is. If you have the resources, then help. And so that's what God is saying. That is putting your faith on display. Jesus visited a lot of cities, and he wasn't welcome in many of those cities, but he still provided service. He was giving sight to the blind. He was healing the lepers. He was, the lady said, if only I can touch the hem of your garment. He was doing those things. He was still giving service, although there was a lot of opposition. And you said the perfect word, peace, right? And so when we have faith, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have peace in God because we know that God is going to bring us out of that fiery furnace that Julie was talking about. God is going to clothe us when we're naked. That's what he was talking about. Even when Adam and Eve, Julia, when they were sinning, right, Jesus still had the resources to clothe them because he asked him, he said, how did you know you were naked? So that means at first they were clothed. They were covered. And so therefore, as you said before, faith without works is dead. And the only way that we're going to secure peace and have peace in our lives, Julie, is to have faith in God and to remain strong in the Word of God. It's just like exercise. You know, if you don't exercise, if you don't lift weights, you're going to lose muscle mass. If you don't read the Bible and study the Word of God, you're going to lose your way. You're going to lose that small faith. Because the more you read and the more we get closer unto God, our faith begins to increase. That's why the Lord says he gives the increase when we tithe and when we do things. He's the one that gives the increase. But he's also talking about when we first, Julie, have that mustard seed, it is a small seed. He said, but then when we begin to water it, that means when we begin to act on it, we begin to water it, we begin to believe that it's going to grow, then it grows into something magnificent that we can use as a resource, and God is our resource.
Yes, he is. And when you begin to, and faith is a verb. It's an action word. I mean,
right. Love
is an action word. You show it. You do it. Faith is the same way. Dr. Love, if you permit me, I'd like to tell you a little short story about displaying faith. I was in Beaumont, Texas, and I was going to work. I'm off a licensed nurse. And I just so happened I was riding the public transportation, and it was pouring down raining that day. So I had my nursing shirt on, but I also had a jacket, another jacket, to keep me warm, a wind blazer and a raincoat and an umbrella. And I got on the bus, and, you know, you spot people on public transportation, and this young man there, what we call crazy eyes and looking and soaking wet, looking at everybody very, very viciously almost, but almost afraid, but almost made you afraid of him. And everybody was looking and talking and looking. He was soaking wet. And just something in me, and still being a Christian at that time, I took off my top raincoat, and I had like a running jacket underneath that, a sweat jacket, and I took that off, and I walked up to it because I was in the middle of the bus, and I put it over his shoulders, but he was soaking wet. And he just looked at me. And I didn't say a word, and I just stepped back and put my raincoat back on. But we got to a certain stop, and he got off. And he got off with the jacket, and before he got off, he turned around and he looked at me. And it was just something very calming in his eyes at that time. And when he got off in the bus, he said, "You know, he got off with your jacket." And I said, "That's okay. I got three more. God bless him. It's okay." Till this day, you know, we never know who we entertain, angels or man. To this day, I mean, I cannot tell you that simple act, for some reason, grew my mustard seed that day. It grew my mustard seed. And everything that I face and I go through, I display that faith that he's going to clothe me, he's going to feed me, he's going to shelter me, he's going to meet my needs. That's Jehovah Jireh. That's who we serve. And I display that faith, facing situations daily. I have to. As a believer, I have to, because I know his word. I put it in the layers of my heart. I put it on my frontlets, my eyelids, my tongue. And he said, "You'll know a man by his heart." And without faith, you can't please him, because works alone does not do that. But faithful works, display of faith, helping the needy, reaching out, touching. And I like to reiterate again, Dr. Love, that correcting one another in the house of the Lord, in decorum, in his presence, in how to honor his house, how to discipline our kids. To discipline them so that you're not getting those calls from the school. All of that is display of faith, knowing that you're doing something for their betterment by the grace of God. If God has graced you as a parent, your display of faith is to discipline that child and raise him as he should go. Now, he's going to make choices and decisions. That's when consequences come in. Correct young adults. Older women teach younger women. Everything you put on is not appropriate for the house of God. That's just point blank. That's just it. And my display of faith is I'm going to correct you before someone corrects you out of the spirit. I'd rather correct you in the spirit. That's how he uses my wings. And that's an umbrella, Dr. Love, that wings is taking over. Addressing behavior and addressing and counseling in church and school discipline with spiritual, practical, and disciplinary principles. Each one has to teach one. As he is teaching us, we teach. Mm-hmm. And that's part of our display of faith, knowing that we're doing it by the Spirit and that it's done out of love.
That's right. Now, if you had three things that you would leave with the audience concerning displaying our faith, what would you leave with them?
I would leave them, number one, increase time in the Word. Number two, mm-hmm. increase in his presence. And number three, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those little foxes, that we may grow from faith to faith and glory to glory, to keep that repentance list long and that forgiveness list short.
That's right. And what I would suggest when we display our faith is to always listen to the voice of God. That means listen to the Word of God. And we're talking about the authentic Word of God. As Julie said before, many times people come and they twist the word around to fit a circumstance or to fit their need. But we need to be aware of what is in the Bible, and we need to be aware of who we listen to, because every word that we hear is not of God. Number two, when we display our faith, we need to make sure that we are displaying our faith because God said display it, not to be seen by men or not to be patted on the back. It has to be authentic faith. It has to be faith from within your heart. You trust and believe in God. Although the circumstance may look bad, you know that God is going to bring you out. You know that God is your stronghold. He's your very present help in a time of trouble. And we must remain strong in the Lord. And I know that many times we become weak. That's everybody, including me. And that's why the Lord is displaying someone who works out. He says, when you stop working out, then you, for so long, you begin to lose muscle mass and you begin to get out of shape. So when we stop reading the Word of God, we get out of the will of God and we begin to go astray. And so then when we come back, we have to make up for that. And then finally, when we display our faith, the Lord is showing a cross. He said he hung on a cross for our sins. And so therefore, we have to be able to repent, as Julie said at the beginning of the show, and we also have to forgive others. That is huge, ladies and gentlemen, especially in the church.
Yes.
We have to display our faith by forgiving each other because it is essential. It makes us stronger. It helps us to be the people we are. It, you know, when we display faith, all of those things that Julie was saying at the beginning, such as, you know, arguments that's going on, gossip, you know, just road rage, you know, you're upset because somebody cut in front of you. All those things that we think people don't know, God sees that, and he is the maker. And so, therefore, when we display our faith, it has to be in spirit and in truth. It has to be as if the Lord has his eyes closed or open because he always sees what we're doing. And are we perfect? No, but our faith should be displayed at all times because that's how that's the type of God we serve. We serve a God who is mighty, and we serve a God who is powerful.
Yes, yes. Dr. Love, if you permit, I'd like to read Romans 5, 1 through 6.
Sure.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, a display of faith, and patience, experience, and experience hope, all displays of faith. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the hope of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us, the Holy Ghost, which brings about the revelation, revealing to us those little foxes in repenting and forgiving. And I like to reiterate what you said, Dr. Love. Forgiveness is a huge display of faith. Forgive when we don't have to. Forgive publicly when we ostracize publicly. When we do it privately, do it privately. Some things done privately needs to stay privately. We know that a lot of people work under their own insecurities and belittle and berate and contrive and connive and conceive plans of mayhem through insecurities. But our display of faith is to let our God show himself strong. I agree with you, Dr. Love. It's a huge thing.
Well, Julie, do you have anything else in your heart you would like to share?
I just encourage us to continue to just display our faith and know it by the Word of God. Check that precept, that standard, that commandment. And I thank you for this message, Dr. Love, allowing me to bring this forth.
And thank you so much, Miss Julia. Thank you for joining me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to listen to a song by one of my friends. She is a gospel artist. I want you guys to check her out. She's excellent in art. As a matter of fact, I'm getting her to do my artwork. And so if you're interested, I'll give you her Facebook page information. But she is just a phenomenal gospel artist. She's traveled all around the world. And I'm going to play one of her songs, which is entitled I Can Only Imagine. Now, she redid the song. However, I have the other version, but I want you to hear it because as Julie was talking and as I was speaking about displaying our faith, she's singing about she can only imagine what will happen when we see Jesus face to face. And it's very important that we understand that God is the creator of everything, and every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess. Whether we have faith or not, we're still going to have to stand before God. And we can only imagine that day because it hasn't happened. But guess what? God is saying we must prepare ourselves through the word of God and through the anointing and the prophecy, listening to the voice of God, so that we can be prepared when we go and see Jesus. And so, therefore, this song is very touching, and I'm going to play the other song later on this week, and it's entitled Faithful. He is faithful, and God is faithful. But we must prepare, as this song is saying, to see Jesus, okay? So I'm going to attempt to play this particular song, and I want you to listen to the words. I know it's a beautiful song. She sounds great, but I really want you to let the or allow the words to minister into your heart.
The day is coming when I shall see my Jesus face to face. The day I've waited for all my life. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by his side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, yeah. Can you only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh, and all of you, these things. Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. I can only imagine. Oh, yeah.
I praise you, Jesus, for all that you've done. You know, the Bible tells me that in heaven, the streets are paved with gold, and that the walls are made of jasper. That's sort of like a diamond. I have no doubt that all those things will be beautiful, but that's not what I'm longing for. The first face that I want to see is the one who died for me, the one who made it all possible for me to even get there. It's all about you, Jesus. When I was a little girl, I used to sit on the steps at my grandmother's house. We called her Gamma. And she would be cooking that hot water cornbread and those greens. Ooh, man, I can still smell those greens cooking. She would be singing this song about she was wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. And she would just be praying for all of us. And I'd just sit there and giggle. I didn't understand. I didn't know what all that was about. And then my cousins and I, we would all get ready and go to church. Man, we'd be there all day long. My grandfather was the pastor. Man, could he preach. I used to watch my elders. Oh, they would be dancing and singing and talking in this funny language. And I would just be sitting there amazed. I didn't understand all that back then. I just knew that they were having a really good time. Man, hats would be flying. And the next thing I know, they'd pull out these fans and they'd be fanning each other. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
I was just a child. I
couldn't understand what was going on. But oh, I know now. I thank you, Jesus, that you brought me into the knowledge of your saving grace so that I could tell others about you. You see, I don't have any fear of dying because I know that my Redeemer lives. And for those of you out there who do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know what you're missing. I want you to come to know him as I've come to know him. I want you to know about his grace and his wonderful love, but most of all about his mercy, how loving and kind and forgiving he really is. I adore you. If you don't know him, it's time that you come to know him before it's too late. You don't know when you're going to leave off of this earth. Don't take any chances. It's time for you to come to Jesus. He's calling out your name. He loves you, and he wants you to go to heaven. Can you only imagine?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Miss Karen Showell, and she is singing or ministering the song I Can Only Imagine. And to sum up our study for tonight, I want you to remember that we must put our faith on display. Jesus put his faith in us on display. Although we were sinners, he still died for us. And the question that I leave with you tonight, what are you willing to do to display your faith? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them, encouraging them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. A scripture guide on the go is at your online bookstores at Follis.com, BarnesandNobles.com, Amazon.com, AmazonUK.com, and BookWorld.com. That's BookWhirl.com. Please, please go and pick up a copy. If you would like for me to send you a copy, you can inbox me, which is on Facebook, right, at Alfreda, that's A-L-F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E, or Frieda, F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E, or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love for you to have a copy of that guide, a spiritual guide to go. In addition to that, gospel artists, promoters, community leaders, writers, actors, actresses, anyone who is interested in coming on the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry, be sure to Facebook me once again at A-L-F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E or F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E, or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the ministry. Speaking of the ministry, I had the pleasure of meeting several individuals this weekend. It was a blast. I have to tell you about it on the next segment. But I have several individuals who will come on the ministry and share their ministry, and they will share some of the things that they have had the pleasure of doing in Hollywood and other areas. So be sure to look out for that. In addition to that, remember that the Great Ebenezer Baptist Church on 919 Dutton Avenue, Waco, Texas, where the Reverend Dr. Kerry Berkeley is our pastor. On August 24th, we will have a church homecoming and a celebration, and we would like to invite each and every one of you out to help us celebrate. It's always good to have other individuals fellowship with us on this great day. So be sure to mark your calendars for August the 24th. Make sure that you leave that date open. It will be a special day at the Great Ebenezer Baptist Church, 919 Dutton Avenue, Waco, Texas, 76705. In addition to that, make sure you're praying for 140 individuals. If you have to pray for all your family members, put them all on one line and pray for them one by one, and do not forget to pray for yourself. In addition to that, we are still praying for 5 and 20 days. The Lord is doing great things, so make sure that we are praying one for another, and we are also praying for ourselves. In addition to that, let's make sure that we govern ourselves accordingly to the survey that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ created for us, in which we were able to identify if we're working for Jesus or we're working for the devil, and it has to do with the way we treat people and has to do with the Word of God. In addition to that, make sure that you continue to go to the page entitled I Got to Have Faith. Amen. That is the ministry page. It is turning into the ministry page. But the title is I Got to Have Faith. And, yes, I got to have faith. Or I have faith. Either way you want to put it, the Lord understands. But that's the page on Facebook, I Got to Have Faith. So be sure to go and like that page and also to check out some things that's going on that page, because I will be posting updates and things of that nature. In addition to that, just make sure, as I said before, that you're taking care of yourselves. Children's summer is almost over, thank God. No, I'm just kidding. Make sure that you're safe around the water. Make sure that you're obedient to your parents. Make sure that you stay close to your parents. Make sure you're not running away. Make sure that you're not, you're basically staying in a child's place. Adults, likewise, be parents unto your children. Make sure that you are taking good care of them, making sure that they're safe and secure, keeping them out of hot cars. Practice patience with your children. Make sure you're reading your Bible. At least the Lord just gave it to me. Read a Bible verse to them at least once a day. And then also pray for your patients as well. In addition to that, let's continue to pray for those who are missing. I read today that a young lady, another teacher, is missing. Amen. And we're going to pray for her. There's a $250,000 reward for this young lady because there's an organization who's sponsoring the search for her. Be sure to keep her in the prayers. Do not forget about the Tanner family as we're still lifting them up in prayer. Do not forget about the young man who drowned in Waco. His family's still going through. The Holy Spirit says that we also need to pray for the immigrants. We need to, because they're going to be an influx of more. We also need to pray for the different things that's going around the world, just unnecessary things that's happening. And a lot of people say this is the end of the world. But no, this is, we're in the revelation part of life in which everything is coming to pass. And so that's why the Lord says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, because the prophecy is coming to pass. The Lord, if you read Revelations, the Lord warned us about many things like this. That's why it's always good to stay in the Word of God, because it does not mean that we would not go through the storm. But just like the Hebrew boys, that means that we may go through the storm, but we will come out untouched. And so it's very important that we stay in the Word of God, and it's very important that we continue to practice and display our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In addition to that, I want you to stay with me. I am bringing on, and I have the honor, I have the pleasure of meeting a gentleman from Baylor University who was able to go on American Idol, and he has agreed to come on the Love Live Jesus ministry to share his experience with us. And so that is just such a blessing, and we're going to have other extraordinary people come on, thus says the Lord, and he's going to send us, and he's going to take us higher in the spirit, amen. The Love Live Jesus ministry is going through a lot of transformations right now as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned. As I said before, this is one ministry that keeps me encouraged, keeps me going. This is my baby that the Lord has given unto me, and I'm going to take care of it. And so I'm just so excited about all the individuals who are coming on, and I just look forward to getting on air, you know, just giving God all the glory and all of the praise. And it's just a pleasure. So, as I said before, I want you to be sure to just continue to pray. Pray for things that are happening. Continue to trust in God. Continue to believe in God. And just continue to, you know, continue to do what thus says the Lord, and you will be just fine. And speaking of just fine, I want to play a song by Ms. Belcher. She was actually on the ministry a couple of weeks ago, and her song is entitled All Right. And so I'm going to play that song, and then I'm going to bid you good night. And once again, I would like to thank God, my family, and my friends for staying up with me on tonight, at this moment, at this time, on the Love Live Jesus ministry. So without further ado, I'm going to play Ms. Belcher's song, and it's entitled All Right, and then afterwards I will come back and bid you good night. Thank you so much for tuning in. And this is your host, Alfreda Love. Belcher with "It's Going to Be All Right." And ladies and gentlemen, if we display our faith, it is going to be all right. Someone asked you what that big beautiful smile is all about. You tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. Until next time, which is Wednesday, take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye, everybody.